Hey, what's up, everybody? Shane Presley here to tell you about my friends, Music Record Shop. Check them out, 4191A Manchester Avenue in the heart of the Grove, right between the demo and the ready room. Hey, this Friday, they've got new records coming in from Cage the Elephant, Leslie West, Seth MacFarlane, Placebo, Jawbreaker, Fish, and more. So come down there Friday for the all-new Music Happy Hour. They have 10% off any purchase. New music playing. Complimentary beer from Four Hands Brewery. Should be a great time. Find them online on Facebook, Twitter, Instagram, and musicrecordshop.com. Also, when you're down there, be sure to check out their always growing local music selection. There's a lot of fantastic local bands with music down there. So pick up some new music and enjoy.
Hey, this is Kenny Kynes. I'm on Rock Paper Podcast. Check us out.
This is Rock Paper Podcast with Shane and his guests. You will listen to what he says.
It's Shane. We'll drive to your house and bring you brownies. Talk for hours as it's Rock Paper Podcast.
Tell me why.
All you gotta do is download Rock Paper Podcast. Rock Paper Podcast.
Podcast is kind of like it's like a radio show that's not on the radio. It's on the internet. Does that make sense?
Uh-huh.
Yeah. That's also like my mom. It makes it sound more confusing, doesn't it? It sounds like this.
Hey, what's up, everybody? Shane Presley here, Rock Paper Podcast, coming to you from inside the Backstreet Blues and Jazz.
The beautiful Backstreet Blues and Jazz.
Yeah.
Huh? Have you seen this many fake bricks in your life?
This is something, man.
I want to know when fake bricks were in.
Right.
I want to go back to that time period because there's a lot of fake bricks.
And apparently unfinished.
It's like Super Mario Brothers. Yeah. It really is.
Episode 151. My guest today is Mr. Kenny Kynes.
Lucky 151. Hey, yeah. Everybody. How's everybody doing tonight?
I'm excited about this. It's been a while. This is your big return to the show.
Long awaited. Yeah. That's what I've been hearing on all the channels.
Yeah.
You know, your MSNBCs.
Sure.
You know, your CNNs. I know, but we're here. We finally made it happen. Yeah. I was finally able to clear my schedule of working and hanging out at gas stations.
Right.
Is there live music over here or what?
Here we go. Nope. What's this?
Nope.
Hi. Hey, what's up? Hey, I'm sorry. We're recording a podcast right now.
Well, hey, let's get in the podcast.
No, this is just, I'm sorry.
I'm in a lot of podcasts, man.
Well,
I have a lot of fun things to say.
As soon as this thing is done, we'll come grab you.
For the podcast.
For the podcast. We'll get you in for a sign-off. I appreciate
it. Let's just take some shots on the podcast.
Take some shots of the podcast.
Hey, here's the thing: positive, laughing, and testing negative.
Staying beautiful. Right?
That's
have a good one. That just happened.
Yeah. That's the beauty of recording this stuff live, man. I did one of these with Bobby Jaycox,
mm-hmm.
And at a Taco Bell, and it was
that doesn't surprise me for some reason.
Yeah, we had a lot of fun, but we were cracking up. Like there was all the
four girls or whatever that were working the Taco Bell, they all had their headset earpieces on and they were talking to each other, and whatever they said was the funniest damn thing. They all started cracking up and they all ran into the bathroom, and me and Bobby are like in the middle of the interview like, what was that all about? And then they started walking out of the bathroom, and Bobby calls them over. They're like, hey, come on over here. You know, and like,
so, I probably should have called them over there, but it's too early. We're just getting started. Sure. The audience is just getting to know Kenny Kynes. Yeah. Right? Yeah. Right.
Sure.
That guy was wearing a suit. Yeah. Who wears a suit on a Tuesday?
Yeah.
He was a crazy person is what he was.
I think that's fair to say. I mean, who just stumbles into an empty bar?
An empty bar.
Ask if there's live music when there's...
And you hear none.
Nothing.
Clearly, there's no live music going on.
Right.
You could probably do that from like the Westport parking lot and say, wow, there's no live music going on in this location. But let's wander in.
Yeah.
Like a bear.
Right.
You know? So there we go.
Yeah. So you're no stranger to a podcast. You have been doing your own
I'll put it like this. To be fair, right? All right. So I've tried a couple of podcasts, and I mean, if you know me, I'm just not very thorough.
Yeah.
I'm not a very detailed oriented person. So those podcasts haven't gone more than a couple of episodes. Right. But we actually do a podcast. I do a storytelling show with another local comedian, Jeremy Helwig. It's called Sorry, Please Continue. And it's a once-a-month show. And again, the only reason why this is a podcast, because it's literally the laziest thing you can do for a podcast.
Right.
We just record the show and then put the show up, which is perfect for me because I do nothing. I literally do nothing, which is how I enjoy living my life, doing the least amount of work I could possibly do. So, yeah, we've been doing that for about a year now.
Yeah.
We've been doing the show for over a year, almost 2 years now. It's been coming along pretty well, and we've been recording the episodes and putting them up as a podcast once a month. So, yeah. And they've been getting good responses, you know?
Yeah.
I mean, I assume, because, again, I don't really I don't really handle that.
That's what Jeremy tells me, yeah. No, that's cool, man. I listened to one, maybe a month ago, I forget, but I was checking it out. But yeah, you guys are going to have your next live one will be?
December 23rd. That'll be our next live one. And this one, this episode, I believe, will be the worst time you've gotten into trouble. The worst trouble you've gotten into.
Huh.
And I'm sure everybody, we got some great stories lined up. We have a returning storyteller, Rob T, who did the first episode and killed it.
Yeah.
And, you know, so we try to have him back whenever he has a great storyteller. But again, and this one, this one is also, we're working with the Children's Cancer Charity.
Mm-hmm.
So we'll be accepting donations for that as well. But this is the last show of the year. It's going to be a blowout.
Yeah.
Really looking forward to the stories. Everybody's been in trouble.
Yeah.
I know Rob's been in trouble a lot. I've been in trouble a lot. So, yeah, we're looking forward to it. I think it's going to be a good time.
Yeah, man, there's a fine art to storytelling. I mean, I've been trying to get much better at public speaking and storytelling on this show because that's a lot of what I like to do on this show. You got to share the stage with one of the guys who I consider one of the best storytellers, Mr. Ryan Sickler, the other night.
Mm-hmm.
And that guy, I mean, his whole set that he pretty much did is all storytelling. It was not, you know, there's punchlines throughout the stories, but it's not, you know, he only told like three or four stories or whatever and for his whole set. But I listened to him on his podcast, The Crab Feast with Jay Larson, and those guys, you know, they got stories for days.
When you start off in comedy, the first thing you do is just tell stories that you tell to other people that they thought was funny. You know, you don't really learn how to. You don't really know that hey, you have to actually tell a joke,
right?
A beginning, a middle, and an end, regardless of what you're saying. That's what people know.
Yeah,
that's the pattern that people know. So when you see these storytellers like Ryan and everything, it's like, all right, you want to tell this great story. But if you don't tell this story with some punches, if you don't tell the story with some jokes, nobody's going to want to listen to it.
Yeah.
You know, no matter how funny you think it is, you still have to go back and rewrite it like a joke.
Yeah.
You know, you have to know where the beats are, right. You know, and that's one of the hardest things when you start moving forward and progressing as a comedian. It's like, all right, I've been telling dick jokes for 2 years. Right. But I mean, and everybody wants to be Bill Hicks.
Yeah.
You know, I mean, I think we can all agree that he's one of the, if you don't think he's the best comedian, he's basically one, he's one of the most topical comedians who had ever been. And also he spoke his mind, which is why he probably was only big in England.
Yeah.
You know. But yeah, you want to transcend that at some point. You want to say, "Hey, I'm getting sick of telling these jokes about, you know, something that was, it's either a dick joke or, you know, so wow, this crazy thing happened at the ATM." You know, it's like, you want to get beyond that. You want to get to, like, the storytelling.
Sure.
This is me. And I think at the end of the day, your audience connects with that a lot better than they would if you're just some, you know, a one line. Not that there's anything wrong with that.
Yeah.
You know, I know there are a lot of good guys or a lot of great comedians.
Sure.
Who are that? But I mean, in the back of my mind, I would like to be that.
Yeah,
probably will never happen.
Like Hedberg.
Hedberg, he was a great one line comedian. You know, he told great jokes. Sure. You know, but again, I think he transcended the medium in the way he told those jokes.
Right.
You know, he was very succinct. He was very, and his personality too. I think it. One thing I've learned with comedy is the fact that I think people enjoy who you are.
Yeah. Oh yeah.
You know, if they like you.
Sure.
They like your jokes. I tell people all the time, a lot of jokes that I do, I don't think are that funny. Right. I think they're just the way that I do them.
Yeah. Oh, yeah. There's a lot to just the delivery of it, you know?
Yeah.
There's, you know, for me, I'm a huge Josh Arnold fan.
Mm-hmm.
And that guy can pretty much say anything. It makes me laugh just because a smile and his little laugh and everything else.
And like, he believes in it. Yeah. And it's like, wow, I'm talking to some dude that, you know, this is a coworker.
Yeah.
You know, this is just some guy who's telling some funny stories.
Right.
You know, I can identify with this guy. This is a guy that I think is cool.
Yeah.
You know, I mean, that's what you're striving for. I mean, sure. You have to, especially like, you know, I'm not like a headliner or anything. When you're up there, I mean, it's hard to do 45 minutes.
Yeah.
I mean, to talk to anybody for 45 minutes.
Yeah. I do it a couple times a week, talking to.
Do you?
Well, not comedy, but doing this, talking to people for 45 minutes. Yeah.
Now, but it's 45 minutes, and then you're in a room with people.
Sure, yeah.
You have to make them laugh.
Yeah.
That's literally the only job you have, you know. And to see, like, Josh, you know, Josh is one of my favorites.
Yeah.
Or who we just saw, you know, Sean, that's just fucking...
Sean O'Brien?
That's just forget Sean's laugh. I mean, I am drunk. Hold on. Let me take some of this water.
Yeah,
it's the persona, man. I think once you start to get a persona on stage, I think you start to move forward as a comedian.
Yeah. Speaking of that Ryan Sickler show, that was a comedy in the Duck Room with Tim Convey.
It was Tim Convey, me, Ryan, and then there was a guest comedian. I don't know why I cannot remember who it was right
now.
It
was Reed.
Reed Garber, yes, he also was there as well, and it was a man. What Tim is doing over there at the Duck Room is really special, man.
Yeah.
I mean, Duck Room's always been a good. I've found, or I always thought, I always thought that it was a good room to do comedy.
Mm-hmm.
But you know, the week I did it was, the crowd was really good. They were really into it. The room was really good. You know, everybody was having a good time, so...
Yeah, I loved it, man. I had a blast that night. Like I said, Sickler is... I talked to him for a little while after the show, and I'm I told him that he's a big inspiration for me even doing this show. Like, listening to those... Him and Jay talk, and then Adam Ray and Brad Williams on About Last Night. Those two podcasts are, like, you know, ones I listen to the most frequently. And listen to those guys always just sound like they're having such a great time hanging out with their buddies.
Well, I mean, I think that's what a lot of the comedy today That you see, like the Seth Rogen comedies, the you know, the Judd Apatow comedies. One component, I think, one very successful component of what they've been doing is the fact that it's guys you seem to want to hang out with.
Definitely, yeah.
You know, these are, you know, there's a bunch of guys that you would probably hang out with in real life, mm-hmm. you know, and that's one of the things that I'm beginning to enjoy about comedy.
Yeah.
You know, that it's this world you can create around yourself, and hopefully people will be interested in it.
Yeah.
You know, I mean, I'm not at that point yet, but you know what I'm saying? I may never be at that point, but you know, it's fun to see. It's fun to watch.
Yeah.
You know,
one of my favorite moments, and I don't think it's ever happened for me at least, but you had a the mic drop on the setup on that.
Oh,
that,
yeah, that guy laughed. Yeah. That guy laughed at that joke,
yeah.
And I was like, there's nothing else I can do right now.
Yeah.
You know what I mean? It was he
said something about going camping, and that guy just thought that was the point.
He was done. He looked like a hunter camper type dude. And that happens a lot. If I ever hear anybody that does that, like, lasts before the punchline,
right?
I always feel that they're more enthused than everybody else.
Yeah.
And so therefore, I can't say anything that's going to top the reaction that they've already done.
Right.
You know, this punchline is never going to be as good as what that guy just implied that it was going to be.
Yeah.
That was a lot of fun, though. I like when stuff like that happens.
For sure.
You know,
yeah.
That guy was great. And again, the audience was great. And, you know, coming out and asking, you know, saying Wu-Tang Clan ain't nothing to fuck with.
Yeah.
Wu-Tang Clan ain't nothing to fuck with. Because none of them look like they listen to Wu-Tang Clan.
Yeah, sure. Yeah.
But no, that's what I mean, that's what I've been enjoying so far about, you know, comedy, man.
Sure.
It's when it's not so much when you you know, say the material that you've been writing. It's when you can interact with the audience.
Yeah.
You know.
It
makes it easier.
Yeah. I've talked to you know, I feel like he's one of the best writers, you know, working right now, but and happens to be a friend, but Tommy Jonigan.
Jonigan is a beast.
Yeah, watching him come up, and every, you know, I've seen him, you know, a couple times on a weekend, and like he'll go up, and each like first 10 minutes or whatever is always different because it's whatever the crowd is, you know, something, you know, he'll find something to work on, and then it's like, and it's just funny to watch like him pick apart a crowd and what's already, like, you know, somebody heckled the feature or something like that. And like,
I've seen him destroy hecklers.
But you can tell it's all improv. He's just making, you know, it's all right there, you know.
I mean, it's improv, but I think on some level he probably does have something that he can pull out of his back pocket.
Yeah, but I mean, he maneuvers it well. Like, it's not, you know, it's not like he's going through his act. It's, you can tell it's, you know, it's just kind of off the cuff kind of deal.
Yeah, I think, I mean, it's always important, I think, that it sounds like you're not doing an act.
Yeah.
You know?
I have seen those guys, though, that it's almost like verbatim of their album. You know, it's like, and it's...
you get into that mode. I think you do get into that mode. If you are, especially like if you're in a city that you don't really want to be in.
Yeah.
Or if it's a city that you don't know. I mean, I'm only speaking for myself. I can't speak for every, you know, professional comic that's been working for 20 years.
Yeah.
You know, but sometimes you do feel like you just want to, like, a late show.
Mm-hmm.
You know, you just want to get through it.
Yeah.
So you just do your act, you know. But sometimes you get, like that guy laughing before the punchline.
Yeah.
Sometimes you get that, and it's like you can just roll on that for it. 10 minutes,
sure.
You know. Shit, my set was half over.
Yeah, right.
By the time I got done with him.
Yeah.
So, I mean, it wasn't a heckle. It was just like he really liked that premise. I'm like, okay, well, I can't top this.
Yeah.
Thanks, bro.
Yeah. That was had a good laugh out of that one, man. That was fun. So what do you, how you feel about this Helium comedy?
I've heard, you know, I know I've heard a lot about Helium. I heard it's a great club, you know. I'm looking forward to another comedy club in St. Louis.
Yeah.
You know, they're going to be in the Galleria, so they're going to be centrally located. But I'm looking forward to it. I think it's another opportunity for comics to get stage time.
Yeah.
At the end of the day, and you're getting a fine club. You know what I mean? This is a club that gets, you know, like the Funny Bone. They get heavy hitters. You know, they get very good headliners. You know, you got Dave Attell, who hasn't been here in years.
Yeah.
You know.
Yeah.
It's those comics that don't quite do theaters, but it's also those comics that, you know, don't really get to the Midwest all that much.
Yeah.
You know.
There is something I don't. You know, and I'm. Just as a fan perspective, there is something. There's like guys that don't want to work Funny Bones for whatever reason. I don't know if it's their managers or however it works out, or they had one experience, or but there, and especially even St. Louis, there seems like there's guy like those guys that I watch, and like they'll skip over and they'll go to Kansas City Improv and stuff, and like but they don't hit St. Louis, and you know, like,
That might be a personal preference. Yeah. I don't know. So, I mean, it could be anything. I mean,
sure.
I mean, I'm sure you've been reading the papers. We're about to lose an entire football team.
Yeah,
we've already lost two of our top players from the Cardinals.
Yeah.
You know what I mean? It's. I mean, it could be a personal preference. You know what I mean?
Yeah.
It could be a managerial thing. You never know why people skip over or go to another location.
But I'm hoping maybe Helium will change that. That's what I'm hoping. Maybe they'll be like, if they had a problem with Funny Bone or whatever it is, maybe they'll start coming to Helium. And
yeah,
and that's in that case. So.
Well, I mean, like I said, I've seen their lineup coming up, and it's really good. I mean, it's really good.
Sure.
I mean, Joey Diaz.
Yeah.
When's the last time Joey Diaz has been in St. Louis? You know,
so I follow a ton of, you know, schedules. So, and I do recall, like, it's been a while, but he was at, like, Old Rock House one night. So I thought that was interesting for him to, it was him and Ari Shaffir over there. So I thought.
Oh, really?
Yeah. I thought that was an interesting choice for a comedy show over there. Because it's like, you know, I guess they pull up seats, but it's like, it's kind of a long, narrow room.
Yeah, well, I mean, you got a lot of comics. Like, you know, you got the Firebird,
yeah.
The Demo, you have the Ready Room. You have a lot of these rock clubs who are also doing comedy shows, because a lot of these comedians are coming through the area, but they just want to do one-nighters.
Yeah.
You know? So, I mean, it's perfect for them. It's perfect for the venue, because, I mean, it's not a lot of overhead to do a comedy show.
Yeah, right.
You know, you just get a sound guy, and that's basically it, you know? So yeah, you have a lot of these guys that have been, you know, who may not be coming through St. Louis all that much to do a weekend, you know, 3-4 days, 4-5 days, but they will come through and do a night,
yeah,
or maybe two shows.
Right.
You know, I got a chance to work. Yeah, I can't think of his name right now. He does the epic rap battles in history.
Yeah.
And I don't know why I cannot think of his name. I'll tell you why I can't think of his name right now. Because I'm 40 years old. That's why I can't think of his name right now. That's why I couldn't remember Sean's last name.
Right.
You know what I mean? I'm just old, all right? But he was in, I mean, you know, he's big on YouTube. He's big with that epic rap battles. He also does stand-up comedy. And he just came through town and did a show at the improv shop.
Yeah.
You know, just a one-nighter. Did his thing and then, you know, left. I think that's attractive to a lot of comedians.
Yeah. Yeah, I can get that. I mean, just like you're saying, Firebird and things, and then even the Pageant, they've been doing a lot more comedy there.
Pageant, and now with, you know, Tim, who has a lot of connections, is doing, you know, some good shows at the Duck Room.
Yeah,
so.
Yeah, that's a... It's exciting to see that there's a comedy, a sort of a comedy boom in St. Louis right now. You know,
it's exciting again, because when I first started, there was a comedy boom that was starting. You know, all these little rooms were starting up, like Foam, and then you had some other little rooms that were also starting up. And then there was kind of a critical mass a little bit. But then there was there's another. It's always when another group of comedians come in.
Mm-hmm.
I mean, that hunger is always there. It's like, I want to start my own show.
Yeah.
You know, I want to do my own thing. And that's great.
Sure.
I mean, we actually have some great comics that have been coming up, you know, over the past couple of years who are getting better.
Yeah.
You know, they're good and they're getting better, you know.
Yeah.
And they get it. You know, they want to do weird stuff. You know what I mean? They want to do goofy stuff. They don't want to do the same thing over and over again, which is, I think, is great
yeah.
for a scene. You know, it's like, I don't, you know, maybe some weird dude or some dude wants to gets up and doesn't want to do, you know, traditional stuff or whatever you want to call it.
Maybe they want to do a late night talk show.
Maybe they want to do a late night talk show. Yeah. You know, are we talking about STL Up Late?
Yeah. I think that's another great avenue to platform for to feature some comedy writing and everything else. And
yeah, I mean, that whole thing is just literally is the result of hard work.
Yeah,
you know, I wrote jokes for, monologue jokes for them, and to see them come up from, you know, they were just doing you know, a small talk show at Satori, mm-hmm. which is the place downtown. To where they are now. They finally made it to television. I mean, just to watch that. I mean, it's a lot of hard work that goes into creating that that television show. But you see it come out in the final product. You know, they really love what they're doing, you know.
Yeah. It's exciting, you know, cause it just and knowing some of the people involved in there. And, you know, it's fun to watch the hard work start paying off, you know.
Yeah,
the fact that they're already getting, you know, they are getting TV. They are getting, you know, people are taking notice and stuff, so it's cool. I mean,
it's a good time, man.
Yeah, for sure.
I think it's ladies and gentlemen of the listening audience, I believe the episodes are up online.
Yeah,
I believe that it's on Tuesdays, either Monday or Tuesdays, but you can also catch it on live television at 2:30 on channel 4.2.
Yeah, KMOV, my TV.
I think it's 4-. I just got HDTV.
Yeah,
a month ago, so I didn't even know the channel existed.
Yeah,
but again, it's there, you know, and that's a step in the right direction. Then somebody else sees it and says, "Wow, this is really well done." Mm-hmm. Hey, how about you come over here? You know, so
yeah.
I mean, you know what show business is about. Sure. It's just basically showing up.
Yeah, I mean, I think it's stuff like that. Like, you look at what they were able to do with zero budget, and if you imagine giving them a little bit of money to do it, like what they could create, you know, it's like...
Yeah, and it shows.
Right.
It shows.
So, excuse me. What else I got? Oh, since we last talked, you mentioned opening for that other show, but you had gotten to share the stage with Hannibal.
Yeah, that was quite a week.
Yeah.
That was a good time, man. We haven't talked since then?
I don't know. I think whenever we first recorded this, the podcast, I mean, we've talked.
Was that? Okay.
Off mic, but we recorded your first episode. I have the number. It was number 26.
Okay. So that would have been last year, right?
That was like September or something. So.
Okay, so yeah, that was like back
right,
in like...
It was like right before you did it, I think.
Yeah, so. Yeah. It was it was after that. It was like around October.
Yeah,
it was one of those things where, and I tell people this all the time, you know, most of everything that happened is because you knew somebody.
Right.
You know? And I just happened to know somebody who worked... I knew him for years. You know, he was a friend of mine. And he worked at the pageant, and he was put in charge of finding somebody to open for Hannibal Buress.
Yeah.
And he just called me up and said, "Hey, man, I need somebody to open for Hannibal Buress, man. Can you do it?" And I'm like, "Yeah, why not?" I mean, and, you know, up to that point, that was the largest crowd I had ever been in front of. And I believe you me, I was nervous as hell. Yeah. But it actually, you know what? It actually worked out, you know, for the best. It was a great show. I mean, he was hilarious. We ended up wearing tuxedos.
Yeah.
And he called me up. He had, like, I got a call from a number I didn't know. And then he left a message. And so I checked the message. He was like, "Hey, man, this is Hannibal Buress. We're going to be wearing tuxedos before the show. All right, get at me." And then hung up. I'm like, "What? Whoa. Let me process this." Right. I'm like, "What?" So I call him back, and he's like, "Hey, you know, you opening up?" I'm like, "Yeah." He's like, "Yeah, we're going to be wearing tuxedos. So go over to Savvy," which is right next door to the pageant. "Yeah. Go over to Savvy, and I got you hooked up. Just get a tuxedo." And so we were in tuxedos for the entire show. And actually that, when I heard that, when all that happened, all that nervousness kind of went away.
Sure.
It's like, I'm in a tuxedo.
Yeah.
You know, there's nothing more ridiculous than this.
I'm looking fly.
Yeah. And I was looking pretty fly. I ain't gonna lie. I was rocking the pink, what do you call that, cummerbund?
Yeah.
Oh man, got me. I got a sweet picture with him and the feature. That was nice. Yeah. That was nice.
Yeah, man, that's awesome.
Got to see somebody do ballet. Yeah. Somebody. So he did. He has this gibberish rap that he does. And I guess every city he does something different.
All right.
But in this, in St. Louis, he had a ballet dancer come out.
Oh, yeah.
So he did the gibberish rap, and then this ballet dancer comes out and starts dancing.
Yeah.
But it was like at the very last minute, and the whole time she was like, I don't think I'm going up. He hasn't come got me yet. I don't think I'm going up. But she was about to go put her clothes back on. And he just started doing it, and she had to run out there and start doing her ballet shit.
Yeah. Did you do one of those Chappelle shows too?
Yeah, man, that was wild. I mean, I'm not gonna lie, that's the biggest thing I've ever done.
Yeah,
I mean, it was. Bobby also did one of those.
Yeah, I remember. I can't remember. I think I'm pretty sure you were.
I did Halloween night. I did the second night. We ended up doing two shows.
I was there like the very last one.
Okay, no, I wasn't. There was another comedian from Iowa, I think, came down and did the last two nights.
That's right, yeah.
Yeah, and that was, again, it was weird because I got a phone call, and I didn't know what it was, and so I didn't answer it. I didn't respond to it for a couple of hours. It was like 7 o'clock before I finally called back. Yeah. And it was actually Dan Chopin, who is a well-known comedian in St. Louis. And he was like, oh, we needed somebody to open for Dave Chappelle. And I was like,
you know, that old phone call.
What? But I was on the other side of the city, so I wasn't going to be able to make it back by the time they needed me. And so I'm thinking to myself, like, God, I just missed an opportunity to open for Dave Chappelle.
Right.
And, I was glad Bobby got it. You know, Bobby's a bro. We've been in this, I think he started before I did, but you know, he's a funny guy. I respect him. So I was glad he got it, but I was like, I'm never going to be able to do this again. Yeah. I missed a once in a lifetime opportunity. And so they called me the next day, and he was like, hey, do you still want to open for Dave Chappelle? And I don't know, what am I supposed to say at this point? Like, let me think about it. Yeah. I'll call you back. So no, I'm like, hell yeah. Exactly. Let me check my schedule and I'll call you back. But no, I was like, hell yeah, I would like to open up for Dave Chappelle. Yeah. And and that's probably one of the most nervous I've ever been. Literally, it was sold out. It was sold out. Both shows were sold out.
Yeah.
They were a good crowd. Both shows for me, I think, went pretty well.
Yeah.
But it's one of those things where they don't care about you.
Yeah.
You know? It was just do like your thing.
A placeholder.
Yeah, it was like, do your thing. I mean, they're not mad that you're out there, right, but they also don't care that you're out there. So it's like, just do your thing, do the jokes you know work, and then get off the stage, because they're not there for you.
Right.
No matter what you do. So, I mean, in my head, I'm like, don't blow it. You know, I felt like I was representing St. Louis comedy at that point, because, you know, we do a lot of shows around, you know, the area, but, you know, we don't get a regular audience. You know what I mean? So there's still a lot of people in St. Louis who have not seen any of these comedians.
Right.
You know? So, I mean, there was also that factor. But, yeah, I mean, I only got a chance to meet him kind of like he was walking to stage. You know, we said, what's up, all this stuff. But he was basically from the bus to the stage. And both those shows were incredible.
Yeah.
The second show was better than the first one. I don't know how he did it.
Yeah.
But the second show was better than the first one. And it was a real good time, man. I was nervous as hell. I keep, to this day, I feel like, you know, I'm glad I didn't pee in my pants on stage.
I was surprised at how jacked he was, man. That guy,
Yeah, he got kind of swole, man.
Yeah.
He has he's working some delts right now.
He was big, man.
Yeah.
Well, of course, you know, he disappeared for a while.
Mm-hmm.
But, you know, you think back of, like, all the Chappelle shows, and he's, you know, still just pretty pretty skinny.
Lanky. With that personal trainer, I guess. Right. You got all that Dave Chappelle money, man. You might as well get in shape.
Yeah. I had a great time. It was also one of the weirdest comedy shows I've ever been to, though. Like, the fact that, like, I felt like I felt like I was like in a prison or something, you know, because like the way security's like pacing the, you know, walking.
Yeah, he didn't want any cell phones. Yeah. No cell phones. And man, I understand that.
Yeah, sure. No, I mean, I get it. It was just it was awkward. Like when you're like trying to watch Dave and this guy just, you know, pacing around with their arms crossed, looking, you know, and so, you know, you feel like the, you know, the warden or something like that over there, you know. It's like, it was kind of a weird thing. But, and then what was also funny is, you know, DJ's been out there before, you know, as we're all filing in and stuff. And they said several times, you know, hey, keep the phone off for an hour. That's all we're asking. Don't pull it out. Don't, you know, whatever it is.
Mm-hmm.
And of course, end of the show, Dave's up there and somebody, I guess, and I couldn't see her, but Dave saw her, I guess, pull her phone, and Dave called her out. Ma'am, I see you out there with your phone, you know, like security or something. Like, it was like totally killed the whole.
Yeah, they were kicking people out. Yeah, they were kicking people out if you pulled your phone out.
And then, but of course, you know, Dave, being a professional, got it right back, you know, snapped, you know, and it got the crowd right back into it. But it was just like a, you know, he's in the middle of a joke and just like complete halt, you know, and threw her out and stuff. And I was like, man, this is, you know, it's kind of tense, and, you know, but like it got right back into it, and then.
Well, she knew the rules.
Yeah, right.
They explicitly said, "Don't use your cell phone at all."
Yeah,
you know, and you try to get over.
Sure,
you'll get kicked out.
Yeah, but yeah, I you know, it's a simple request, but yeah, I don't know why everybody, you know,
I not to sound like an old man, because I am.
Yeah.
I mean, it's that social media generate. Yeah. I mean, it's that there. I need proof that I was here.
Sure.
You know,
I mean, I know, I do. I record a lot of videos of bands. Just try to not exactly for me, but I try to with the promoting and stuff. I try to put a video up and be like, "Hey, look, this is what you're missing out on." You know, kind of thing. I want people to see what these people. You know, if you didn't miss the show, this is what you're missing out on. Try to make it to the next one. Kind of thing. You know, I don't do it with comedy.
Well, yeah, most bands are cool. Exactly. Comedy's kind of weird because you don't want them, especially if you're just working on a joke.
Yeah,
you don't want anybody to put that online. You know, I was like, I wasn't really.
Yeah, I just do it at like
that. Wasn't finished
rock shows and stuff.
Yeah, rock show. They don't care. Yeah,
sure.
People know what their music sounds like. Yeah, you know.
Yeah. But I heard a quote at the, I was at the show, but like Rob Zombie like yelled at some fans and stuff because they were holding their phone up the whole time, were kind of thing. And he's like, put your phone away. Like, there's plenty of shitty videos on YouTube of this show. Like,
I agree. Yeah. I mean, that's annoying. Like, the show's right there in front of your face. Yeah. Why do you need to record this?
Right.
You know.
I was even thinking.
Too bad Kennedy wasn't shot yesterday.
Yeah.
there'd be 9,000 videos from every possible angle.
Oh yeah,
you know.
Yeah, it. I was thinking tonight. So I was going to ask you, since we are getting towards the holidays and stuff, like if you had a favorite Christmas movie.
Oh, you don't have to ask that. Because I mean, you should look in my eyes and know what my favorite Christmas movie is. I mean, continue on and I'll tell you.
But because I was thinking tonight it all clicked to me and came to mind and it made me laugh. But I work in an elementary, as my day job, and they had their little holiday musical thing with the kids. And I just started laughing, thinking of Home Alone as, you know, Buzz is back there with the holding the candles behind Kevin's ears and playing the drums on his head and stuff. And
yeah.
But what I was also thinking was how many parents are out there recording it on their phone. It's like, why are we getting everybody here? We should just put out the YouTube video of it and give it to the parents.
Yeah, just have the school do it and then share the school's video.
They're all watching it through their phone anyway. So,
yeah. Did you really watch this? Yeah. If you watch a live event through your camera the entire time, did you really watch that event?
Yeah,
I think that's a good question.
Yeah. But anyway, so getting into the holiday spirit, what is your
my favorite holiday movie
of
all time, and I'm several people can back me up on this, is Die Hard.
Yeah.
Die Hard is the greatest Christmas movie of all time.
Right.
Yeah, you can't beat it.
Yeah.
You know? And it's not even considered a Christmas movie,
right.
But everybody considers it one of the best Christmas movies of all time.
Yeah.
And two. Why not?
Right.
But, I mean, the original Die Hard, I mean, pretty much stands on its own as, you know, people might say A Christmas Story.
Yeah.
You know, if they're lazy, right? The Red Ryder BB gun, you'll shoot your eye out.
Sure.
John McClane spent an hour and a half shooting everybody's eye out.
Yeah.
Right?
Yippee-ki-yay.
Yippee-ki-yay, MF-er. So, yeah, I mean, no, that is my absolute favorite Christmas movie.
Yeah, man. Yeah, that's a classic.
Yeah.
Yeah, what are they? What's it? Was the last one 4?
I don't know. I stopped watching Die Hard movies. All right.
The last one actually wasn't too bad. I think it was Live Free and Die Hard.
Whatever it was. Yeah. I stopped watching it after 3. Honestly, it was me and my sister, my older sister. That was our thing. We would go watch the Die Hard movies every time they came out. And I saw the trailer for, I think it was Live Free and Die Hard. And it's like, I'm not. One, it was PG-13. Yeah. So I'm like, I'm not watching this.
All right.
And then I saw him on the back of a hover jet. I'm like,
yeah.
I can buy him jumping off a building with a fire hose and then cracking through a window with no shoes on.
All right.
I'll give you that. I'm on your team. But if you put this dude on the back of a hovering jet plane at 55,
yeah,
I have to leave.
Yeah.
I can't be a part of this anymore.
Yeah. It's funny, some of these guys, man, they even just, we just had a brand new Terminator come out a little bit ago.
Yeah.
You know, all that. I think it's fun, those Expendables movies, like where they're still doing the action, but they're also poking fun at the fact that they're, you know,
hella old.
Yeah, they're 60s or whatever doing these movies.
And I think it's you know, for me, I've always been a big fan of action filmmaking. Right. You know, I've been a big fan of kung fu films my entire life. I'm just a big action film dude. And, like, for me, the golden age of action filmmaking was, like, the 80s and 90s, up until, like, The Matrix.
Yeah.
You know, that was, like, the last great action movie, because everything's so neutered now and everything has to be PG-13, mm-hmm, and all that stuff. But, yeah, man, I think that's why you see them remaking all of these movies. RoboCop. I haven't seen the new RoboCop. Yeah. I will never see the new RoboCop.
Yeah.
You see them remaking all these movies from the 80s
and
90s because they were great movies. You know, it was just announced that they were redoing Big Trouble in Little China with The Rock, and that's one of my favorite movies, you know, coming up. But it's like, you can't redo that movie, because let's be honest, that movie was crazy racist.
Yeah.
It was super. There's no way you could do that movie in 2015 or 2016, whenever. You know, it's not. I'm not gonna say crazy racist, but it was uncomfortable. You know,
sure.
If you'd have watched that movie in a theater. Now, you know, if you watch that movie, it would be kind of uncomfortable.
Oh, yeah.
You know, but 10-year-old me.
Sure.
It's like, this movie is fan-fucking-nasty.
Yeah.
So, yeah, I think that was the best time for it. And now we got, you know, Big Boy coming back, Star Wars.
Yeah.
You know, basically. So,
yeah, what are you were saying you're going to watch like 3 times or something?
I'm not crazy hype about it,
because
I felt like I was burned by the Phantom Menace and the other 3 movies.
Right.
I don't even think I saw the last one in the theater. I felt as if I was burned by that, and so it's like, don't get too hyped for anything.
Right.
Don't get super hyped for anything.
Yeah.
So I'm going in it even keel, but I'm gonna get a chance to see it on Thursday, and then I'm gonna get a chance to see it on Saturday.
Yeah.
So I am little, you know, 5-year-old Kenny is kind of excited to see it.
Yeah. I never got into any of that, but I know.
Oh, you son! Turn this off right now,
right?
And you go see it.
There's a lot of that, like you know, any of those big ones, even the Harry Potters or whatever. Any of the any of those like big following, you know, movies. Like, I just could never get into any of them.
Well, yeah, I'm like that. I'm like that for the most part too, man. But, you know, some of these movies are actually really good. You know, when they get a good director and they get, you know, people who are passionate behind the project, they end up turning out really good. Because I wasn't into Harry Potter at all.
Yeah.
I took my nephew to see the first 2, and I kept walking out with a headache for one out of both of them.
Yeah.
And then I was like, I didn't know what the hell was going on.
Yeah.
Literally, I had no idea what was going on. And then Alfonso Cuarón did, you know, Prisoner of Azkaban. And I love Alfonso Cuarón. I think he's a great director, and he just brought this. He brought his eye to it, and it became this great movie.
Yeah.
You know, so I ended up following it after that. But those first 2, I'm like, I don't know.
I remember in high school, we Our history teacher was a huge Star Wars fan. I remember we watched like Return of the Jedi or something, mm-hmm. like in class. Like, so I don't know. I do, you know, I have seen the first three, but yeah, just never really. I mean, they're fun, but I never.
Yeah, I mean, at the most part, yeah, there are some people who get. I'm one of them who, you know, get just the world building. You know, you just get caught up in that.
Yeah,
you know, you just like what. It's escapist fantasy.
Sure.
You know, so you get caught up in it. And then there's some people who don't. I mean, there's nothing wrong with that. It's just I have other things. You're married. You have a very lovely wife. You got other things you got to worry about. And guys like me who are just like trapped in worlds.
So who are you going to dress up as then?
I'm not dressing up as anybody. Let it be known. I have a line that I will not cross. I'm not going to get dressed up and I'm not walking around with a lightsaber.
All right.
No, I mean, I'm not at that level of fandom.
One of my I talk in about him a lot because I'm a huge fan, but I listen to a lot of Stern Show. Mm-hmm. And one of my favorite clips, and they just replayed it a little bit ago, is they send this guy, Wolfie, who would just go out and do these, like, you know, kind of whatever, interviews at these different conventions.
Mm-hmm.
So he went to, like, a Star Wars convention thing, and he starts interviewing people, and he... talk to a lot of them in character, in, you know, costumes and stuff, and mask. And one of them, one of my favorites is he's like, who are you dressed as? He's like, I'm Darth Nihilus. And like, that's part of the convention thing, is they always have to, like, the deeper characters, you know, who the most obscure thing they can come up with and stuff. But
expanded universe,
man. Yeah. So, and of course, then, like, you know, you get into, like, the people that are dressed like as, like a, you know, Nintendo or a, you know, the game characters, because there's different characters in the Star Wars games or books or whatever, you know, different things, whatever it is. But so anyway, but yeah, he just that Darth Nihilus, and like there was a couple other ones, but he just gets him so angry, like, you know, basically, you know, so you still live with your parents and stuff like that, like, you know, this kind of stuff. And
well, I'm sure you remember this. It was when the prequels came out, it was, Comic the Insult Dog.
Oh, yeah, right.
When he interviewed all those people from Star Wars, it is one of the best things you're ever going to see.
Yeah.
I mean, if listening audience, go on YouTube, look up Comic the Insult. Comic Insult Dog. Yeah. I'm sorry. Triumph the Insult Dog.
For me, the booba.
Oh, my God. It is hilarious.
Yeah. That's Smigel, man. He's a genius.
Yeah,
he
is.
Very funny.
Yeah, he's weird.
Yeah. I don't know, you want to wrap it up?
Yeah, I got to run down to the south side.
Yeah. All right. Well, man, it's been a lot of fun.
Hey, listen, you have made this into a great podcast. I think I was on episode 26, and you were already up to episode, what is it,
151.
And I don't know if I said this earlier, but I tried the podcast.
Yeah.
And I got up to episode 2.
Yeah.
And only episode 1 got up. So, I mean, this is a triumph. This is a testament to you. And you also go out a lot.
Yeah.
You go out more than I do.
I like to party, man.
Yeah, man. You get out. I mean, you are what any artist would love in a fan.
Yeah.
You know?
Well, thank you.
They like, you know, they like it. They respect it. You can't get any more than that.
Yeah.
You know?
I'm having a hell of a time, man. I get to hang with guys like yourself and all my buddies, and you know,
keep it going, man. Yeah. This is great. Yeah. I mean, this is a great podcast, honestly.
Well, thank you,
especially for this town.
Yeah, I'm trying to build something cool for the city, man. If I can help, you know, showcase some of the arts around town and give people. Turns the people on to some cool stuff going on here, man. That's all.
More podcasts and less stadiums. That's what I say.
Yeah.
Right?
Yep. That's the motto.
They should give you $1.2 billion to get this thing rolling.
You hear that, people?
You hear that, St. Louis? You hear that, Board of Aldermen?
All right. So follow Kenny on Twitter if you want.
You can find me at Steely Ken on Twitter. Yeah. And then just look up Kenny Kynes on Facebook. I think I'm the only one in the world, so you got a good chance of finding me.
That's pretty good.
Yeah.
And then come out Foam on the...
Foam, December 23rd for Sorry, Please Continue.
Yeah.
This is our last show of the year, and it's going to be that time you got in trouble.
Yeah.
And you can also, if you look us up on Facebook, sorry, please continue. You'll find our podcast.
Yeah.
Old recorded shows. So
yeah, I'll link it all up and get the good word out there. So, but yeah, thanks again, Kenny, for hanging out.
No, thank you. Huh? How about that? Nobody ever says that during the podcast, right?
We'll see you later, man.
Take it easy, brother. Rock Paper Podcast. Rock Paper Podcast. Rock Paper Podcast, y'all.